stand by with the frying pan. Nanny shrugged. Granny concentrated. It is very difficult to read a human mind. Most humans are thinking about so many things at any given moment that it is almost impossible to pick out one stream in the flood. Animal minds are different, far less cluttered. Carnivore minds are easiest of all, especially before meals. Colours don't exist in the mental world, but if they did, a hungry carnivore mind would be hot and purple and sharp as an arrow. And herbivore minds are simple too, coiled silver springs poised for flight. But this wasn't any kind of normal mind. It was two minds. Granny had sometimes picked up the mind of hunters in the forest, when she was sitting quietly of an evening and letting her mind wander. Just occasionally they felt like this, or at least like a faint shadow of this. Just occasionally, when the hunter was about to make a kill, the random streams of thought came together. But this was different. This was the opposite. This was cracked and crippled attempts at cogitation peeling away from the sleek arrowhead of a predatory intent. This was a predatory mind trying to think. No wonder it was going mad. She opened her eyes. Nanny Ogg held the frying pan over her head. Her arm trembled. "Well," she said, "who's there?"
"I could do with a glass of water," said Granny.
Natural caution surfaced through the turmoil of her mind. "Only not out of that well, mind you." Nanny relaxed a little. When a witch started rummaging in someone else's mind, you could never be sure who was coming back. But Granny Weatherwax was the best. Magrat might always be trying to find herself, but Granny didn't even understand the idea of the search. If she couldn't find the way back to her own head, there wasn't a path.
"There's that milk in the cottage," Nanny volunteered.
"What colour was it again?"
"Well, still fairly white."
"Okay."
When Nanny Ogg's back was safely turned, Granny permitted herself a small shudder. She stared at the wolf, wondering what she could do for it. A normal wolf wouldn't enter a cottage, even if it could open the door. Wolves didn't come near humans at all, except if there were a lot of them and it was the end of a very hard winter. And they didn't do that because they were big and bad and wicked, but because they were wolves. This wolf was trying to be a human. There was probably no cure.
"Here's your milk," said Nanny Ogg.
Granny reached up and took it without looking.
"Someone made this wolf think it was a person," she said. "They made it think it was a person, and then they didn't think any more about it. It happened a few years ago."
"How do you know?"
"I've got its memories," said Granny.
"And instincts too," she thought. She knew it'd be some days before she'd stop wanting to chase sledges over the snow.
"Oh!
It's stuck between species, in its head."
"Can we help it?" said Nanny.
Granny shook her head.
"It's gone on for too long. It's habit now, and it's starving. It can't go one way, it can't go the other. It can't act like a wolf, and it can't manage being a human. And it can't go on like it is."
She turned to face Nanny for the first time. Nanny took a step back.
"You can't imagine how it feels," she said. "Wandering around for years, not capable of acting human and not able to be a wolf. You can't imagine how that feels."
"I reckon maybe I can," said Nanny. "In your face, maybe I can." "Who'd do that to a creature?"
"I've got my suspicions."
They looked around. Magrat was approaching with the child. Beside them walked one of the woodcutters.
"Eh?" said Granny. "Yes, of course, there's always got to be," she spat the words, "a happy ending."
A paw tried to grip her ankle. Granny Weatherwax looked down into the wolf's face.
"Please," it growled. "An ending. Now."
She knelt down and took the paw.
"Yes," she said.
"Yes."
She stood up again, all authority, and beckoned to the approaching trio.
"Mr. Woodcutter," she said, "a job for you."
The woodcutter never understood why the wolf laid its head on the stump so readily, or why the old woman, the one in whom anger roiled like a pearl barley in a bubbling stew, insisted afterwards that it be buried properly instead of skinned and thrown in the bushes. She'd been very insistent about that. And that was the end of the big bad wolf. It was an hour later. Quite a few of the woodcutters had wandered up to the cottage, where there seemed to be a lot of interest.